The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For over a century, the Irish language has been taught in schools. It's, of course, a compulsory subject. And many children will go down to the country somewhere to attend a Gaeltacht during the summer for a couple of weeks to help them learn the language. Well, certainly they have fun, whatever about learning the language, that remains to be seen. But recently there seems to be a revival or a surge in the number of people wanting to learn Irish, and especially with the popularity of Irish-speaking bands like NECAP. But for most, people leave school and they never speak a single word of Irish again. So how important is it to keep the Irish language alive? And is the current Irish is cool vibe real, or is it something that is transient? Well, we have two people here with us in the Town Hall Theatre in Westport. Kachalini Gushig, Banishtor Idakas of Kalashta Ishke, and Imer Nigalachoir, Ifagok Planola Changa with Gwelga Irish. So let's talk to you about what you both do, first of all. Imer.
Thank you, Pat, for having us on. And I know Michael said it before, but warm welcome to Mayo. As you said yourself, I'm an Oficach Planala Changa, which is an Irish language planning officer with Gaeilge Irish, working as a team with my colleagues Lisha Niguda and Shorshin Bashford in the Erris Gaeltacht, or the North Mayo Gaeltacht, as it's also called.
How living is that Gaeltacht? I mean, how many people are living there who use Irish every day?
So to talk statistics, we've over 7,000, I think, in the last census. We are actually, a fact about our Gaeltacht, it's the largest Gaeltacht planning area in the entire country. We are quite spread out. It takes an hour's drive to go from one area in the Gaeltacht to the next. And I have to say, historically, it's always been a strongly spoken language in some parts of that community. And of course, our job as planning officers is to promote the use of the Irish language in our Gaeltacht community, to safeguard it as a spoken language for future generations and the community.
Now, how do you go about that?
Well, our work is actually based on a targeted language plan focused on the needs and recommendations for the community. And these plans involve a seven-year plan, and we're now coming into the end of year seven, and going forward, we'll begin to prepare a second language plan.
In practical terms, I mean, is it recruitment or retention, if you know what I mean? Is it keeping people who speak Irish continuing to speak Irish, or is it recruiting people who've never spoken Irish but who live in the area, getting them to speak?
Would you believe it's both? It is both, and I sometimes like to think of it as there's a trinity of factors in play. I was reared in that Gaeltacht. I'm from Rossport, and growing up, things were different. We had Gaeilge, but we didn't have as many advantages or opportunities. That has all come in recent years with the language planning, something that we've seen works.
But when you were a child growing up, if you went to the local shoppa, did you ask for everything os Gaeilge, or...
We were raised with Gaeilge, and in our local community, we would have spoken to those we also knew were happy to speak to us in Gaeilge.
But there would have been a lot of English around as well.
Certainly, as with many areas in the country and in many Gaeltachts. And I think just to go back to the kind of factors involved when we talk about speakers, whether they're new speakers or whether they're families of generations of Irish speakers, there's three factors really involved. It's their cumas, which is their ability to speak Irish. What level are they at? Their mion, or their attitude. Is it positive or is it negative towards the language? And then the most important thing, my role, our job, is the usage. What use are they getting? Or can we create areas in which we can expand their use of Gaeilge? And sometimes you could see with a new contour, a new speaker, they might have a very positive attitude, and by giving them opportunities to use their Gaeilge, their cumas or their ability naturally then comes along.
Okay, so let's then talk to Kathleen. You're dealing with young people all the time, yeah?
Yes, Pat.
And what's the attitude coming in when people come to Kalashta Ishke? Are they really enthusiastic about the language or just enthusiastic about the experience, shall we say?
Well, when they arrive down there, there can be a mix of both. I'd say 50-50. There are lots of students who are trepidatious, nervous about it, think that their Cumascalga, Merger, Emer, that they don't have sufficient Irish to converse. Some are excited about it. Some of them really want to be there. You get students too who the parents have made the decision. That's probably the most difficult situation that we have. But like Emer mentioned the word attitude there, and I think you started off with, is the resurgence real? Is there a real new passion? Is it really cool? Definitely, Pat. We see it all of the time. Now, the Irish college model, it's always been there. You know, when we run different courses throughout the year, the ordinary or the standard Gaeltacht courses that we all know, fortnightly, three weekly, you know, they're all there. But then we run courses like leadership courses. We've got one coming up in the autumn now. We run skills courses for people who want to be water sports instructors. And you really see the excitement and the attitude towards the Teanga there. I think it's all about the attitude to the language.
But where do your students typically come from, the young students in the summer? Are they from Dublin, Galway?
They come from all over the country, so we have a couple of different course models. So there has to be an opportunity for young people like Emer growing up who are Leafas Gaeilge. They have to have an opportunity to mix. So we have courses where they come and gather. So you'd have Jay Gorey and Gaeltacht there from Donegal, Kerry, Clare, Galway. They come and we tend to put them together. They're all fluent. Then we have the majority of students coming from the East Coast, I would say Dublin, Kildare, a lot of students coming from Cork, but all over the country, Pat. It's amazing, really.
Okay, now when they come, of course, they have different abilities, I suppose, and different levels of competence in the teaching they have received, and also different attitudes, I suppose. Are you sometimes shocked at the lack of competence?
I wouldn't like to focus on the negative part of that.
Because okay, but I mean, is it very uneven? In other words, some kids come from school and they're pretty okay. They've got an adequate cumas, as you might say, and they might even have a good mion.
Yeah.
But they haven't been able to usaw it very much.
Well, they haven't had the opportunity maybe, or maybe that positive attitude around the Irish language hasn't been around them. We've had students, Pat, whose first language isn't even English, come to Clostishkin. That's really, really interesting. Of course, we know that the total immersion model is the way to teach Irish. And our motto is Gaeilge Beo Briwer, so a live and living language. And as Emer says, when people see that something is live and living and used, and when they see people to whom they look up using the language, it comes very naturally. But to answer your question, is there a difference between the commas? Yes, but you know, we're all starting on the same platform. 288 students come into a hall to register on the same afternoon, give up their phone.
Now, that was a question prompted by a listener. You know, what do you do with phones?
Oh, what do we do with phones? Well, look, you know, our attitude to phones is it's the way that young people communicate mostly. Any parent knows that you know, their child is more, or their jaguar teenager is more taken up with their phone than they are with their parents nowadays. So yes, we take up their phone on their first day as they're coming in to register. We tell them, the first thing we tell them when they arrive off the coach from Dublin is to send a message home to say they arrived safely, and then we take their phones. They're then given their phones back for half an hour every evening. Now, there's kind of I suppose we're thinking tactically when we choose the time that the phones are given back, and our Bannon Cheese are with us in that regard as well. So after dinner time, there's a half an hour where they can have their phone. Our rule is, and we absolutely encourage, unless there, you know, is a need to be otherwise, that all communication is just through text. And the parents are more bothered by this, Pat, would you believe? So you get calls from parents saying, I've heard nothing, only a text. So, well, that's what you signed up for. So interestingly, Pat, on the registration night, they don't get their phone back. The following day, the hall is full. You know, there's a stampede to come and get the phones. And then day after day, there's a lie-do, a lessening of the people coming to get their phones. It's more important to use that hour and a half post-dinner, pre-Cayley, to prepare for the theme of the night, or just to, you know, while the crack is good in the house.
Now, you grew up with Irish in your household, and that's the easiest way to learn any language, isn't it?
So, it is, but I have to say schools are so important as well.
But the question of competence, I mean, if you go into a school where the teacher hasn't much Irish, even though they're an Irish teacher, but it's never been, if you like, their spoken language, and yet they are charged with teaching it as a subject, that must be a disadvantage.
To be fair, I'm not sure if I'm the best to speak on it. As you've said, I grew up in a Gaeltacht region. I had teachers of the highest standards in terms of Gaeilge, and very fortunate to have them. And I went to an all-Irish speaking national school close by. As you said, parents spoke Gaelic in the house, and that supported me. But I think that's still true for a lot of children in the Gaelthach's view, even today, that they have maybe Gaelic at home, good teachers in the schools, but there's that bit extra that is still needed so they can socialise through Gaelic. I'm actually paraphrasing my colleague Leisha when I say this. We have to create a bridge between the competency and the lifiacht that they get at school or at home, and an outlet for that source and the chance to mix, like Kathleen said, with other people of their own age, so they can progress their language and take a bit of ownership and identity through music, through thrad.
Yeah. And that's the question, can cultural trends help in that regard? And we know NECAP. But years ago, do you remember there was a move to launch pop songs os Gaeilge?
Mm-hmm.
And it never really took off.
You want to come to one of our Kayleys. You hear plenty of pop songs. And they're actually Cláistiú, whose focus is on, creating Kjol and that. One of the interesting things, so we front-load incentives. So it's all about encouragement and changing their attitude. So another thing that Agarin Ina or Hishmahori, that people are always interested in, is how are you managing to get 12, 14-year-old boys to write a song, as Gaeilge, to create and choreograph a dance and to present it to a whole Cláistiú at the end of the course. And it happens, and every single person takes part. But that's because of, I suppose, positive peer pressure, and because everybody's doing it. Mm. And again, the attitude.
Someone's suggesting here, bring in a National Irish Day. Well, we have Seachtain na Gaeilge, which is really Caicís na Gaeilge, isn't it? It's a fortnight.
Caicís na Gaeilge, but if you're in Cláistiú Uisce and the rest of the Gaeltacht, it's Seachtain na Gaeilge every day, every week. But it does help. It's kind of a soft launch, I think, Seachtain na Gaeilge, for some people who might be just Éireann Imlína, just on the hinterland of speaking Gaeilge, or wanting an excuse.
Yeah.
Even as adults, I think sometimes we either need something to keep us busy while we're doing something new, so we're using Gaeilge unbeknownst to ourselves, or you need a rule to be placed down to say, well, the rule is you have to speak Gaeilge. So you're not standing out in that way.
Well, in my school, we did geography and history through Irish and maths through Irish. And the language of the schoolyard was a mixture of Irish and English. Certainly the language of the classroom tended to be Irish. You know, you were abused, os Gaeilge, by the Christian Brothers. But it's that kind of usage which is denied so many people. There's no place where they can securely say something in Irish and know they will be responded to in their own language. Is it because the language is taught as a grammar more than as a living language? Is that a difficulty?
Yeah, there's definitely a difficulty with that. So another thing that we focus on is taking Irish out of the classroom. Now, physical, and I suppose in reality, there are some things we have to do in classrooms. But, you know, when our teachers, and we have the most wonderful teachers who come from all over the country, and getting back to your earlier point, Pat, about, maybe they're Irish teachers, they generally wouldn't be Irish teachers without some kind of grow for Gaeilge. And a reason that a lot of our teachers come to us is to develop that, so they too see that their peers, or maybe somebody who they look up to further along in their career, is using Gaeilge as a living language and enjoying the teaching of it. And they also see that there are great opportunities. You know, if people want to relocate, we've had a focus this morning throughout your show about the benefits of relocating and work-life balance in the West. For teachers who want that work-life balance, it's here.
Now, a text here from Val. My grandson, 3 years old, 3 years attending Kolostishka, not 3 years old, don't take that young, 3 years, completely loves it. When I collected him from school last week, we had a lovely conversation with my grandson talking to me os Gaeilge. It's that kind of...
It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. I was talking to a parent yesterday too, Pat, whom I knew that her daughter was very nervous, and her Caidean Gaeilge wasn't very high when she came in. Her attitude has completely changed. She's coming home now 2-3 weeks into the new school year saying, Mum, I can understand so much more, and you know, it's given confidence as well.
And the question of your accent in Irish, Tommy Igdalwalia Eron Dort, that kind of thing, I mean, it doesn't matter what your accent is.
Not at all.
No, of course not. But to be fair, one thing that we are particularly proud of in Erris, in our Gaeltacht, is that we have our own canúint, our own dialects. So we don't necessarily sound like Muntis Conmara or Dúnagáil, but maybe a mixture. So there is that uniqueness that we have in the Gaeltacht regions as well.
I've been asked by one of my listeners to ask you, particularly about Coláiste d'Uisce, what is the lure? Is it the language or the romance, but the potential romance?
You have to come to see, Pat.
You're too old for that, I'm afraid.
We might be able to get you some position. You could be a Cunthor Changa or something
like that. I could
be a
Muncho, yeah.
What is the lure? Well, it's at that lovely time in early teenage years and through to the later teenage years. And like I say, you know, getting on a bus in Dublin, going way out west, maybe for the first time, certainly for a lot of people, first time going into the Gaeltacht, where Irish is a living language. Then, you know, you're going to talk to Patrick, whose name I have correct now, from Traitors. And it struck me watching that show, you know, they're all arriving there. They have no idea who else is arriving there. Yes, we get lots of friend requests and we try to cater for them as much as we can. But a lot of students come on their own. It's that little bit of excitement and freedom and independence. You know, you're going to live with Banan Chi. Which Banan Chi will I be sent to? I've heard all about this Banan Chi, but maybe I'll be sent somewhere else. What teacher will I have? So I've heard that there's a teacher there that's, you know, a rapper, or a teacher who's a famous musician, or a teacher who performs in panto yearly. So the lure is, I suppose, that new and exciting group opportunity. It's just, it's connected with youth. It's a very positive thing.
I get the impression, in summary, that you both believe the language is alive and well.
Absolutely.
And blossoming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Once again.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Kotlin Igushi, Gabanishtor Idikish of Coláiste d'Uisce, and Imre Nigelchor, Ifagok Planal Tonga, Le Gwailge Irish. That Guramil Magwith.
Shine Gurmagathain.
All right, time for an Arrogate.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.